Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode.
So we're going to finish up our study on this doctrine or teaching of justification by doing this. Imagine up Paul versus James. Paul clearly teaches that we're justified by faith and not by works. But we come to this passage in James, and it seems like James may be teaching opposite. He may be teaching contrary to what Paul is teaching, that we are justified by faith and by works. So I want to dive into that and be able to answer that question of, are we justified by faith or by works? So what part do works play in our Christian life? I said, Paul clearly says that works have nothing to do with salvation. We've looked at that. Read through the book of Romans. Look at Galatians. He is 100% clear. It's not gray. It's not wandering. He says salvation is a free gift through grace. We're justified by faith alone and not by works. He talks about it being a gift in Ephesians 2:8-9. And so justification is not a process. You must understand that this salvation is not a process, something that we do or something that we earn. It is an instantaneous act. It is not something we do. It is something God does for us the moment we call on Jesus Christ. It's a once for all event, and it never changes. So what does James mean when he says we're justified by works and not by faith only? Is it a contradiction? Well, we need to get the context of James chapter 2. We won't read the entire passage, but it's verses 14 through 26. The theme is this: evidences of a mature Christian. Essentially what James is dealing with, if you're going to be a Christian, be a real one. Paul was dealing with Jews who said that works were necessary for salvation, while James is dealing with people who believe mere intellectual agreement was enough to obtain salvation. So they're dealing with two different issues. James is dealing with the difference between false faith and genuine faith. Paul deals with our faith before God. This is need to be understood. And James deals with our faith before man. Paul deals with how we come to Jesus Christ, and James deals with how we act after we come to Jesus Christ. Their writings do not contradict each other. Instead, their writings actually complement each other. I'm going to show you why as we walk through this study. So we want to see the example of Scripture. The use of justified in Scripture, it means clearly to declare righteous. As Paul uses it, it's relating to God and His law. It means that we're declared righteous by God because of what Jesus has done. On the flip side, with James, it is relating to man. It has the idea to be perceived as righteous by what we do. It has the idea to be declared righteous in appearance, but not reality. We're not declared righteous by what we do. How do we know? Verse 18 is kind of our key text here. I'm going to read a few verses here. He says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" So he kind of brings up the question here. And then he goes in, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace," he says, "you don't help them, what profit is that? Even so, faith that hath not works is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." He's saying, look, I will prove to you that I have faith by what I'm doing. So someone does not know you. Just think about that. You're trying to reveal to them, maybe it's a job interview, maybe it's a new person you're around. You can tell them who you are, but it only goes so far. It's really through them seeing how you act that truly tells them who you are. It will either justify your claims or go against your claims. So you and I will try to justify our claims if we have good character, I can do this job, whatever it is, by our action or works. That's what James is dealing with. So the order of faith and works, it is always faith first, then works. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So right there it tells us works have nothing to do with salvation. And here Paul affirms James's teaching. He says, look, you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so he says, look, faith first, And then Ephesians 2:10 says we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so you and I were saved in order to produce good works. He goes on in Titus 3:8 and tells us this. He says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believe in God first might be careful to maintain good works. And so what does he put first? Faith first, works second. It is not the other way around. And this is something we have to remember, be careful not to use the minority to interpret the majority. And what I mean by that is when you have multiple passages of Scripture teaching you one clear truth, be careful not to use the one gray passage or the two gray verses that you're not 100% sure to interpret the other ones. Use the majority of Scripture to interpret and use that as a lens for the ones that's gray and hard to understand. That will help you. And so we take what Paul and what Scripture clearly teaches, even Jesus teaches, that it's by faith, not by works. And so the question is, are we justified by faith or works? We see by the example of Scripture, it's by faith. And then works are a product of our faith. But James goes in and he gives us two examples, really three examples. One is the example of the devils. The next one is Abraham and then Rahab. And this is the key for me as I began. I've studied this passage over the years and studied it. But this time as I came back to it, I really found the key for me to unlock this passage. So first we'll deal with the devils very briefly here. He says this, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So the devils know that God exists. But what James is saying, this is not enough for salvation. There's a difference in belief of or knowing of God, and that's not enough. Here he's dealing with intellectual assent, which is not faith. There is a difference between belief in and belief of. You can know of the president. You can know of Michael Jordan, know all his stats and all his biography, his history, where he was born, and everything about him. But that does not mean you know him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out many devils, done many wonderful works? He says, and I will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. So there is a problem with mere intellectual assent versus faith in. And so here we understand knowing of God is not enough. You and I have to venture trust in God. Biblical faith, I can define it this way, ventured trust in Jesus Christ. It is the intellectual assent that leads you and I to venture trust. It's a act of the will. Venturing trust occurs when you call on Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we believe on him, it's what John 3:16 tells us. So James is dealing with those who have just mere intellectual assent to Jesus, but have not placed their faith in him. He is revealing that there must be a specific time and place when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. And then he gives us the example of Abraham. He gives us two accounts in Abraham's life as the example. And this is the key that I was talking about to understand exactly what James is talking about. It is the order in which these two events occurred and how he's emphasizing this for his teaching. So in the first one, in verse 21, he says, was not Abraham our father justified by faith, or sorry, by works when he offered Isaac upon his son upon the altar? So it seems like he's saying, look, Abraham was justified by works. So you have to have works. That's what it seems like he's saying. But look, follow with me here. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? The works revealed his faith. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Remember, justified in the sight of people. And so here, Abraham's salvation occurred in Genesis 15. The Bible says, and Paul even used this as an example, he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Why was Abraham counted righteous? He believed in God. Abraham had a specific time when he placed his faith in God. This was Genesis chapter 15. That's what Paul deals with in Romans chapter 4. But then we have Abraham's salvation, but then we have Abraham's evidence of his salvation. And this is what James is using. James is not using his moment of placing his faith in God as his example. He is using a different example much later in the life of Abraham, him sacrificing his son Isaac. This is 25 to 30 years later. This has nothing to do with Abraham's salvation. Abraham sacrificed Isaac as a result of his faith from 30 years earlier. This work was evidence of his faith. He is justified. What does that mean? He's declaring himself righteous before men and God. Okay, remember, justification by faith alone is God declaring you and I righteous via Jesus. And so this simply reveals that Abraham was saved. James says that the scripture was fulfilled or right about Abraham's faith. He possessed a real faith, and he sacrificed Isaac because of his faith and not to earn faith. You see, his faith produced his actions, and his actions completed or perfected his faith. It showed that it was a genuine and real faith. And that helped me so much to see, because at first it's like, oh, wow. But when you go back and you realize when Abraham was saved and the example he's using, and then we go to Rahab. He talks about her hiding the spies. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? And so it's like, oh, wow. So we have another example. But here, Rahab's salvation occurred before the spies came. We read in Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 and 11 about when she actually got saved. She said she had heard of God beforehand. And because she had heard of him beforehand, she believed then. She says this, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She said, look, we heard these things of all that God was doing. And she said, when I heard it, I believed. So what they're talking about, her hiding the spies, was not her salvation. You see, Rahab heard of God and believed in him before the spies ever came. That's what verse 11 is saying. And James is using the example of her hiding the spies. So what is that? It's evidence of her salvation. So she hid the spies because of her faith in God. Rahab heard the word first, and it changed how she lived. This simply reveals that Rahab was saved. And so both Rahab and Abraham are in Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. So what conclusion do we come to here? Paul versus James, right? They're not against each other. They're teaching from two different perspectives. Paul clearly teaches that we're saved by faith alone, and James reiterates that. And here the conclusion is this, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You see, a false faith won't produce good works. It's dead. A true faith produces good works. It's a lie. Faith must result in good deeds, or Christianity is nothing more than an idea. Faith and works cannot be separated from each other. You see, by faith, we're justified before God. By works, we're justified before men. Works are not a means of salvation. Works are proof of our salvation. And that is the emphasis. That is the summary, if you will, of what James is teaching. So is James teaching that we're justified by faith and works? No, he says we're justified by faith in the sight of God. We're justified by works in the sight of man. So how can we take our next step? What works does your faith produce in your daily life? As people would examine you, what do people think as they see you? Would they even know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ if you never told them, I'm a Christian, I go to church? Like, what would they see in my life, in your life? Are we known by our works? And what are those works? That's convicting to me to think, would people look at my life and know that I'm a follower of Christ without me ever telling them? Would they know there's something different there? You see, James is saying there should be evidence of the change on the inside. There should be something. And Jesus said it this way, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you and I are going to take our next step in following Jesus, we're going to do so not out of a routine, not out of trying to earn favor with God, not trying to make God our genie because we do good things. He's going to bless us. He's going to preserve us. He owes us a good life. That is the wrong attitude and the wrong outlook. You and I do right because of love. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. So what do your works say about your faith?
Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.